But then we'll read you a story. Well, I'll read you the story, and it's a paraphrase from Luke chapter 15. You can go back and read it from verse 11 through 32 in your Bibles later on. But this is a paraphrase of the story. I want you to get it in our language today. Isn't that beautiful? And then he said, he being Jesus, "There was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to the father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.' So the father divided the property between his sons. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and he left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he'd gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through the country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, 'All those farmhands that are back home working for my dad sit down to 3 squares a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father,' he said. 'I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son any longer. But please, take me on as a hired hand.' And he got right up and he went home to his dad. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, he embraced him, and he kissed him. The son started his speech, 'Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again.' But his dad wasn't listening to that. He was calling for his servants. 'Quick, bring a clean set of clothes. Dress him. Put the family ring on his finger. Sandals on his feet. Man, I didn't expect this. Get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to have a feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here. I'd given him up for dead, but now he's alive. Given up for lost, but now he's found.' And they began to have a wonderful time." Today I want to just share a couple of thoughts with you about a subject, Lostology 101. You may not think that you're lost. I'm sure it's a story open that I just read to you. This young man in the story, we call him the prodigal. He thinks he's ready to go out and take on the world. So he asks his dad for his full inheritance. He doesn't see himself as a lost soul needing someone to find him. In fact, he sees it as the opposite. He was leaving home so that he could find himself. How many times have you heard that? You may not think you're lost. In fact, you may be insulted by even entertaining the idea that someone may think you're lost. But let's listen to the rest of the story. Some of us here may have been taking shortcuts. This young man decided to take a shortcut. He's going to leave home, travel to the far country to have a good time. See, living at home had been a drag. You can just imagine what he went through in his mind. Finally being free to do what he wanted on his time schedule and all that that entails, all that that means. Imagine it. We've all had those thoughts, haven't we? He had found a shortcut to fame, to fortune, and a good time. After all, isn't that what everybody's looking for in our world today? A shortcut. He thought he was taking the road less traveled. What he found out was he was on the superhighway of Lostology 101. He thought he had discovered what everyone else was looking for. Let me ask you today. Are you patting yourself on the back thinking you found a shortcut? You may think, well, I've learned how to have my cake and eat it too in life. Maybe you're on the shortcut to fame. Your definition of fame today. You may be questioning today whether or not you're lost. It was inevitable in the story. The questions had to come. He went through every dime of his inheritance. The friends were plenty. The parties were awesome. He had a great time. There was no denying that. But now, another bit of reality had come upon the radar screen. He was broke. You know what I mean? Busted. Out of dough. Bankrupt. All tapped out. Flat. Thin. Hoover flag. Whatever generation you describe it in. And on top of that, not only was he busted, but so was the economy. Have a special application for us today. The economy had gone south. Famine had hit the land. No jobs, no money, no work, no handouts. No opportunity, nothing to eat. So he began to question. It's a little 2x4 theology, you know, right across the forehead. Some of you may have seen the circumstances change around you. You may have watched as your plan went crumbling before you. And you may be questioning the route that you've chosen. Are you lost? Are you lost? A fourth thing. Today you might be seeing your options more clearly. Young man, he looks for a decent job, but none is to be found. He's literally starving to death. He's forced to take a job slopping the hogs. He's a Jew. Do you get it? This is abhorrent in his sight. He had a lot less time to drink and carouse and a lot more time to think and contemplate. And where did his thoughts take him? His thoughts took him back home. Oh, how good it was. 3 squares a day. Nice place to sleep. People there all around him who loved him and were willing to help him. Even the servants of his dad back home were wealthy by his standards today. The Bible says it very clearly. He had come to his senses. He realized, I'm lost. I need to be found. He realized an option he had not considered. And what was that option? I'll go back home and I'll throw myself at the mercy of my father. He'd have to swallow his foolish pride. But even that tasted better than what he was eating at present. How about you? Have you considered all your options, including the one? Maybe it's time to return to my Father. You may be surprised by the one who's expecting you to come home. Young man makes a decision to go home, but he wasn't expecting this. Who would be out there waiting for him? Quite possibly on a whim, maybe one of the servants traveling around the home place would seem, but never did he expect this. This just gets me. When he was a long way off, his dad sees him. Because let me tell you, the Father has never given up on you. He's always looking, always searching, always looking for you to come home. His arms are open wide. When he sees him afar, he runs out to greet him. Maybe you've thought that God has given up on you. Has the devil ever put that thought in your head? That's a thought hot from hell. Father God, Yahweh, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has sent His Holy Spirit, the Hound of Heaven, has never given up on us. You may think He's written you off, but nothing could be farther from the truth. You see, God is expecting. He still loves you. He still wants you. He still saved a place at the table for you. That's how much He loves you. Finally, you may want to experience the homecoming celebration. What a surprise awaits this young man. thinking he would go home to humiliation and degradation in a list of I told you so's, to be treated like dirt. His dad runs out to meet him. He hugs and kisses him. Young man tries to tell his daddy he's sorry, but all his dad can do is kiss him and hug him and prepare the celebration. He says, I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. Son, you don't have to be worthy because my love is bigger than your sin. Bigger than you running away. You can't fix it. I can. And the dad did. He receives him as a son. Not relegated to the back part of the property, but a seat at the table. A child. Restored. A robe. The signet ring of the family on his finger. And sandals. And he throws a homecoming celebration. The son that was lost is now found. Do you think God feels the same way about you right now? Will he throw a party for you? The Bible says that the angels rejoice when one comes home. And we rejoice with the angels. You see, not only is there joy now, that's the thing about God's joy. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Angels rejoice now, but then they're going to rejoice forever, and we're going to join the chorus forever rejoicing around the throne. That's just how God is. Listen to me closely. None of us can be found until we first admit that we're lost. No one ever came to Jesus who first didn't realize he needed Jesus. No one ever had his sin forgiven that didn't first realize that he was a sinner separated from God in need of the love of God to cut through that and have the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus on the cross and the victory through his resurrection on the third day applied to their life. That only comes by a gift. It's nothing you can earn or deserve. Our kids said it over and over again this morning at our 9:30 service. Over and over again, the grace of God that reaches out to us. Are you thinking about coming home? Are you ready? A lot of people have joined the church, but a lot less have joined Jesus. What I'm talking about today is the Father who loves you, who wants you to come home. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus is your Savior and Lord? Have you given your life to Him? Just a moment. We're going to open the altar. Ask our pastors to come and life group leaders. The altar will be open for you to come. If you've never received Jesus into your life, I want you to know today the arms of the Father are wide open for you. I'm not talking about have you had a religious experience. I'm not talking about are you part of this church or that church. I've got my name on this. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a personal, real, living relationship with Jesus. Do you know Him? I'm going to open the altar for you to come. I'd sure like to talk to you. For us to pray with you, you could receive Jesus today. Secondly, I ask you, do you have people in your life that you want to see come home? Well, today is the day to pray. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your presence and for Your power. Thank You for being here today. Lord, You ambushed me with a story today. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Friend Jesus, thank You. Right now, Lord, I'm interceding. In a group this large, I know, Lord, there are some of us that have never made this transaction with You. I'm asking, Lord, today, as we're calling on people to respond in faith today. Break our hearts. Maybe you don't know what words to say. Here's just a prayer, but God's more interested in the attitude of your heart. But here's a prayer you could pray. You could say to Him, "Dear Lord, I realize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I thank You, Jesus, that You died on the cross in my place and arose on the third day. And right now, I ask You, Jesus, to come into my life, to be Lord of me. I give my life to You. Thank You, Lord." We wait for You to come. The altar is open.